The 15th of October, Lord's Day. Up and while stayed for the barber, tried to compose a duo of counterpoint, and I think it will do very well, it being by Mr. Birchenshaw's rule. By and by appointment, comes Mr. Povey's coach, and more than I expected, him himself to fetch me to Brentford, so he and I immediately set out, having drunk a draught of mulled sack, and so rode most nobly in his most pretty and best contrived chariot in the world, with many new conveniences, his never having, till now in a day or two, not yet finished. Our discourse upon Tangier business, want of money, and then of public miscarriages, nobody minding the public, but everybody himself and his lusts. Anon we came to his house, and there I ate a bit, and so, with fresh horses, his noble fine horses, the best confessedly in England, the king having none such, he sent me to Sir Robert Viner's, whom I met coming just from church. And so, after having spent half an hour almost, looking upon the horses, with some gentlemen that were in company, he and I into his garden to discourse of money, but none is to be had, he confessing himself in great straits, and I believe it. Having this answer, and that I could not get better, we fell to public talk, and to think how the fleet and seamen will be paid, which he protests he doth not think it possible to compass, as the world is now, no money got by trade, nor the persons that have it by them in the city to be come at. The Parliament, it seems, have voted the King £1.25 million at £50,000 per month tax, for the war, and voted to assist the King against the Dutch and all that shall adhere to them, and thanks to be given him for his care of the Duke of York, which last is a very popular vote on the Duke's behalf. He tells me how the taxes of the last assessment, which should have been in good part gathered, and are not yet laid, and that even in part of the City of London, and that the chimney money comes almost to nothing, nor anything else looked after. Having done this, I parted, my mind not eased by any money, but only that I had done my part to the King's service. And so, in a very pleasant evening, back to Mr. Povey's, and there supped. And after supper, to talk and to sing, his man Dutton's wife singing very prettily, a mighty fat woman. And I wrote out one song from her and pricked the tune, being very pretty. But I did never hear one sing with so much pleasure to herself as this lady doth, relishing it to her very heart, which was mighty pleasant. The 16th of October. Up about 7 o'clock, and after drinking, and I observing Mr. Povey's being mightily mortified in his eating and drinking, and coaches, and horses, he desiring to sell his best, and everything else, his furniture of his house, he walked with me to Sion, and there I took water, in our way, he discoursing of the wantonness of the court, and how it minds nothing else, and I saying that that would leave the king shortly if he did not leave it. He told me, no, for the king doth spend most of his time in feeling and kissing them naked all over their bodies in bed, and contents himself without doing the other thing but as he finds himself inclined. But this lechery will never leave him. Here I took boat, leaving him there, and down to the Tower, where I hear the Duke of Albemarle is, and I to Lombard Street, but can get no money. So upon the Exchange, which is very empty, God knows, and but mean people there. The news for certain that the Dutch are come with their fleet before Margate, and some men were endeavouring to come on shore when the post came away, perhaps to steal some sheep. But, Lord, how Colville talks of the business of public revenue like a madman! And yet I doubt all true, that nobody minds it, but that the king and kingdom must speedily be undone, and rails at my lord about the prizes, but I think knows not my relation to him. Here I endeavoured to satisfy all I could, people about bills of exchange from Tangier, but it is only with good words, for money I have not, nor can get. God knows what will become of all the king's matters in a little time, for he runs in debt every day, and nothing to pay them looked after. Thence I walked to the Tower, but Lord, how empty the streets are, and melancholy, so many poor sick people in the streets, full of sores, and so many sad stories overheard as I walk, everybody talking of this dead and that man sick, and so many in this place and so many in that. And they tell me that in Westminster there is never a physician and but one apothecary left, all being dead, but that there are great hopes of a great decrease this week. God send it. At the Tower found my Lord Duke and Duchess at dinner, so I sat down, and much good cheer, the Lieutenant and his lady and several officers with the Duke. But, Lord, to hear the silly talk that there was there would make one mad, the Duke having none almost but fools about him. Much of the talk about the Dutch coming on shore, which they believe they may, some of them have been, and stole sheep, and speak all in reproach of them, in whose hands the fleet is. But, Lord help him, there is something will hinder him, and all the world, in going to sea, which is want of victuals, for we have not wherewith to answer our service. And how much better it would have been if the Duke's advice had been taken, for the fleet to have gone presently out. But God help the King, while no better counsels are given, and what is given, no better taken. Thence, after dinner, receiving many commands from the Duke, I to our office on the hill, and there did a little business, and to Colville's again, and so took water at the Tower, and there met with Captain Cock, and he down with me to Greenwich, I having received letters from my Lord Sandwich today, speaking very high about the prize goods, that he would have us to fear nobody, but be very confident in what we have and have done, and not to confess any fault or doubt of what he had done, for the King hath allowed it, and doth now confirm it, and sent orders, as he says, for nothing to be disturbed, that his lordship hath ordered therein as to the division of the goods to the fleet, which doth comfort us. But my lord writes to me that both he and I may hence learn by what we see in this business. But that which pleases me best is that Cock tells me that he now understands that Fisher was set on in this business, by design of some of the Duke of Albemarle's people, Walkup and others, who lent him money to set him out in, and he has spent high, who now curse him for a rogue, to take £100 when he might have had as well £1,500, and they are mightily fallen out about it, which in due time shall be discovered. But that now that troubles me afresh is, after I am got to the office at Greenwich, that some new troubles are come, and Captain Cock's house is beset before and behind with guards. And more, I do fear they may come to my office here to search for Cock's goods, and find some small things of my clerks. So I assisted them in helping to remove their small trade. But by and by I am told that it is only the custom-house men who came to seize the things that did lie at Mr. Glanville's, for which they did never yet see our transire, nor did know of them till today, so that my fear is now over, for a transire is ready for them. Cock did get a great many of his goods to London today, to the steelyard, which place, however, is now shut up of the plague, but I was there, and we now make no bones of it. Much talk there is of the Chancellor's speech and the King's at the Parliament's meeting, which are very well liked, and that we shall certainly, by their speeches, fall out with France at this time, together with the Dutch, which will find us work. Late at the office, entering my journal for 8 days past, the greatness of my business hindering me of late to put it down daily, but I have done it now very true and particularly, and hereafter will, I hope, be able to fall into my old way of doing it daily. So to my lodging, and there had a good pullet to my supper, and so to bed, it being very cold again, God be thanked for it. The 17th of October. Up and all day long busy at the office, mighty busy, only stepped to my lodging and had a fowl for my dinner, and at night my wife and Mercer comes to me, which troubled me a little, because I am to be mighty busy tomorrow all day, seriously about my accounts. So late from my office to her, and supped, and so to bed. The 18th of October. Up, and after some pleasant discourse with my wife, though my head full of business, I out and left her to go home, and myself to the office, and thence by water to the Duke of Albemarle's, and so back again, and find my wife gone. So to my chamber at my lodgings, and to the making of my accounts up of Tangier, which I did with great difficulty, finding the difference between short and long reckonings where I've had occasion to mix my monies, as I have of late done my Tangier treasure upon other occasions, and other monies upon that. However, I was at it late, and did it pretty perfectly, and so, after eating something, to bed. My mind eased of a great deal of figures and castings. The 19th of October. Up and to my accounts again, and stated them very clear and fair, and at noon dined at my lodgings with Mr. Hayter and Will Hewer at table with me. I being come to an agreement yesterday with my landlady for £6 per month, for so many rooms for myself, them, and my wife, and maid when she shall come, and to pay besides for my diet. After dinner I did give them my accounts and letters to write, against I went to the Duke of Albemarle this evening, which I did, and among other things, spoke to him for my wife's brother, Balti, to be of his guard, which he kindly answered that he should. My business of the victualling goes on as I would have it, and now my head is full how to make some profit of it to myself or people. To that end, when I came home, I wrote a letter to Mr. Coventry, offering myself to be the Surveyor General, and am apt to think he would assist me in it, but I do not set my heart much on it, though it would be a good help. So back to my office, and there till past one, before I could get all these letters and papers copied out, which vexed me, but so sent them away without hopes of saving the post, and so to my lodging to bed. The 20th of October. Up and have my last night's letters brought back to me, which troubles me because of my accounts, lest they should be asked for before they come, which I abhor, being more ready to give them than they can be to demand them. So I sent away an express to Oxford with them, and another to Portsmouth with a copy of my letter to Mr. Coventry about my victualling business, for fear he should be gone from Oxford as he intended thither. So busy all the morning, and at noon to Cock, and dined there, he and I alone, vexed that we are not rid of all our trouble about our goods, but it is almost over. And in the afternoon to my lodging, and there spent the whole afternoon and evening with Mr. Hayter, discoursing of the business of the office, where he tells me that, among other, Thomas Wilson doth now and then seem to hint that I do take too much business upon me, more than I can do, and that therefore some doth lie undone. This, I confess, to my trouble is true, but it arises from my being forced to take so much on me, more than is my proper task to undertake. But for this, at last, I did advise to him to take another clerk, if he thinks fit. I will take care to have him paid. I discoursed also much with him about persons fit to be put into the victualling business, and such as I could spare something out of their salaries for them. But without trouble I cannot, I see, well do it, because Thomas Wilson must have the refusal of the best place, which is London, of £200 per annum, which I did intend for Tooker, and to get £50 per annum out of it as a help to Mr. Hayter. However, I will try to do something of this kind for them. Having done discourse with him late, I to enter my Tangier accounts fair, and so to supper and to bed. The 21st of October. Up and to my office, where busy all the morning, and then with my two clerks home to dinner, and so back again to the office, and there very late, very busy, and so home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of October, Lord's Day. Up and after ready, and going to Captain Cox, where I find we are a little further safe in some part of our goods, I to church, in my way meeting with some letters, which make me resolve to go after church to my Lord Duke of Albemarle. So, after sermon, I took Cox's chariot, and to Lambeth. But in going, and getting over the water and through Whitehall, I spent so much time, the Duke had almost dined. However, fresh meat was brought for me to his table, and there I dined, and full of discourse, and very kind. Here they are again talking of the prizes, and my lord did speak very broad that my Lord Sandwich and Penn should do what they would, and answer for themselves. For his part, He would lay all before the king. Here he tells me that the Dutch ambassador at Oxford is clapped up. But since, I hear it is not true. Thence back again, it being evening before I could get home. And there, Cock not being within, I and Mr. Solomon to Mr. Glanville's. And there we found Cock and sat and supped and was mighty merry, with only Madam Pennington, who is a fine witty lady. Here we spent the evening late with great mirth, and so home and to bed. The 23rd of October. Up and after doing some business, I down by water calling to see my wife, with whom very merry for 10 minutes. And so to Erith, where my Lord Brunker and I kept the office and dispatched some business by appointment on the Bizan. Among other things, about the slop sellers who have trusted us so long, they are not able nor can be expected to trust us further, and I fear this winter the fleet will be undone by that particular. Thence on board the East India ship, where his lordship had provided a great dinner, and thither comes by and by Sir John Minnis, and before him Sir William Warren, and anon a prospective glassmaker, of whom we every one bought a pocket-glass. But I am troubled with the much talk and conceitedness of Mistress Williams, and her impudence, in case she be not married to my lord. They are getting themselves ready to deliver the goods all out to the East India Company, who are to have the goods in their possession, and advance 2/3 of the moderate value thereof, and sell them as well as they can, and the king to give them 6% for the use of the money they shall so advance. By this means the company will not suffer by the king's goods bringing down the price of their own. Thence in the evening back again with Sir William Warren and Captain Taylor in my boat, and the latter went with me to the office, and there he and I reckoned, and I perceive I shall get £100 profit by my services of late to him, which is a very good thing. Thence to my lodging, where I find my Lord Rutherford, of which I was glad. We supped together and sat up late, he being a mighty wanton man with a daughter-in-law of my landlady's, a pretty conceited woman, big with child, and he would be handling her breasts, which she coyly refused. But they gone, my lord and I, to business, and he would have me forbear paying Alderman Backwell the money ordered him, which I, in hopes to advantage myself, shall forbear, but do not think that my lord will do anything gratefully more to me than he hath done, nor that I shall get anything, as I pretended by helping him to interest for his last £7,700, which I could do and do him a courtesy too. Discourse being done, he to bed in my chamber, and I to another in the house. The 24th of October. Lay long, having a cold. Then to my lord, and sent him going to Oxford, and I to my office, whither comes Sir William Batten, now newly from Oxford. I can gather nothing from him about my Lord Sandwich or the business of the prizes, he being close. But he showed me a bill which hath been read in the house, making all breaking of bulk for the time to come felony. But it is a foolish act, and will do no great matter, only is calculated to my Lord Sandwich's case. He showed me also a good letter printed from the Bishop of Munster to the States of Holland, showing the state of their case. Here we did some business, and so broke up, and I to Cock, where Mr. Evelyn was, to dinner, and there merry, yet vexed again at public matters, and to see how little heed is had to the prisoners, and sick and wounded. Thence to my office, and no sooner there, but to my great surprise, am told that my Lord Sandwich is come to town. So I presently to Borman's, where he is, and there found him. He mighty kind to me, but no opportunity of discourse private yet, which he tells me he must have with me. Only his business is sudden to go to the fleet to get out a few ships to drive away the Dutch. I left him in discourse with Sir William Batten and others, and myself to the office till about 10 at night. And so, letters being done, I to him again to Captain Cox, where he supped and lies. And never saw him more merry. And here is Charles Herbert, who the king hath lately knighted. My lord, to my great content, did tell me before them, that never anything was read to the king and council, all the chief ministers of state being there, as my letter about the victualling was, and no more said upon it than a most thorough consent to every word was said, and direction that it be pursued and practised. After much mirth, and my lord having travelled all night last night, he to bed, and we all parted, I home. The 25th of October. Up and to my lord Sandwich's, where several commanders, of whom I took the state of all their ships, and of all could find not above four capable of going out. The truth is, the want of victuals being the whole overthrow of this year, both at sea, and now at the Nore here in Portsmouth, where all the fleet lies. By and by comes down my lord, and then he and I an hour together alone upon private discourse. He tells me that Mr. Coventry and he are not reconcilable, but declared enemies, the only occasion of it, he tells me, being his ill-usage from him about the first fight, wherein he had no right done him, which, methinks, is a poor occasion, for in my conscience that was no design of Coventry's. But, however, when I asked my lord whether it were not best, though with some condescensions, to be friends with him, he told me it was not possible, and so I stopped. He tells me, as very private, that there are great factions at the court between the king's party and the Duke of York's, and that the king, which is a strange difficulty, doth favour my lord in opposition to the duke's party, that my lord chancellor being, to be sure, the patron of the duke's, it is a mystery whence it should be that Mr. Coventry is looked upon by him as an enemy to him, that if he had a mind himself to be out of this employment, as Mr. Coventry, he believes, wishes, and himself, and I do, doth incline to wish it also in many respects, yet he believes he shall not be able, because of the king, who will keep him in, on purpose, in opposition to the other party. That Prince Rupert and he are all possible friends in the world, that Coventry hath aggravated this business of the prizes, though never so great plundering in the world as while the Duke and he were at sea, and in Sir John Lawson's time he could take and pillage and then sink a whole ship in the Straits, and Coventry say nothing to it. That my Lord Arlington is his fast friend, that the Chancellor is cold to him, and though I told him that I and the world do take my Lord Chancellor, in his speech the other day, to have said as much as could be wished, yet he thinks he did not. That my Lord Chancellor doth from hence begin to be cold to him, because of his seeing him and Arlington so great. That nothing at court is minded but faction and pleasure, and nothing intended of general good to the kingdom by anybody heartily, so that he believes with me, in a little time confusion will certainly come over all the nation. He told me how a design was carried on a while ago for the Duke of York to raise an army in the north, and to be general of it, and all this without the knowledge or advice of the Duke of Albemarle, which, when he came to know, he was so vexed, they were fain to let it fall, to content him. That his matching with the family of Sir George Carteret doth make the difference greater between Coventry and him, they being enemies. That the Chancellor did, as everybody else, speak well of me the other day, but yet was, at the Committee for Tangier, angry that I should offer to suffer a bill of exchange to be protested. So my lord did bid me take heed, for that I might easily suppose I could not want enemies, no more than others. In all, he speaks with the greatest trust and love and confidence in what I say and do, that a man can do. After this discourse ended, we sat down to dinner, and mighty merry, among other things, at the bill brought into the house to make it felony to break bulk, which, as my lord says well, will make that no prizes shall be taken, or, if taken, shall be sunk after plundered, and the act for the method of gathering this last £1.25 million now voted, and how paid, wherein are several strange imperfections. After dinner my lord by a ketch down to Erith, where the Bazan was, it blowing these last 2 days, and now both night and day very hard southerly, so that it hath certainly drove the Dutch off the coast. My lord being gone, I to the office, and there find Captain Ferrer, who tells me his wife is come to town to see him, having not seen him since 15 weeks ago, at his first going to sea last. She is now at a tavern and stays all night, so I was obliged to give him my house and chamber to lie in, which he, with great modesty and after much force, took, and so I got Mr. Evelyn's coach to carry her thither, and the coach coming back, I with Mr. Evelyn to Deptford, where a little while with him doing a little business, and so in his coach back again to my lodgings, and there sat with Mistress Ferrer 2 hours, and with my little girl, Mistress Frances Tooker, and very pleasant. Anon the captain comes, and then to supper very merry, and so I led them to bed, and so to bed myself, having seen my pretty little girl home first, at the next door. The 26th of October. Up, and leaving my guests to make themselves ready, I to the office, and thither comes Sir Jeremy Smith and Sir Christopher Mings to see me, being just come from Portsmouth and going down to the fleet. Here I sat and talked with them a good while, and then parted, only Sir Christopher Mings and I together by water to the Tower, and I find him a very witty, well-spoken fellow, and mighty free to tell his parentage, being a shoemaker's son, to whom he is now going. And I to the Change, where I hear how the French have taken 2 and sunk 1 of our merchantmen in the Straits, and carried the ships to Toulon, so that there is no expectation but we must fall out with them. The Change pretty full, and the town begins to be lively again, though the streets very empty and most shops shut. So back again I, and took boat and called for Sir Christopher Mings at St. Catherine's, who was followed with some ordinary friends, of which he says he is proud. And so down to Greenwich, the wind furious high, and we with our sail up, till I made it be taken down. I took him, it being 3 o'clock, to my lodgings, and did give him a good dinner, and so parted, he being pretty close to me as to any business of the fleet, knowing me to be a servant of my Lord Sandwich's. He gone, I to the office till night, and then they come and tell me my wife is come to town, so I to her, vexed at her coming, but it was upon innocent business, and so I was pleased and made her stay, Captain Ferrers and his lady being yet there. And so I left them to dance, and I to the office till past 9 at night. And so to them, and there saw them dance very prettily, the captain and his wife, my wife and Mistress Barbary, and Mercer, and my landlady's daughter, and then little Mistress Frances Tooker and her mother, a pretty woman, come to see my wife. Anon to supper, and then to dance again, Golding being our fiddler, who plays very well, and all tunes, till past 12 at night. And then we broke up, and everyone to bed. We make shift for all our company, Mistress Tooker being gone. The 27th of October. Up, and after some pleasant discourse with my wife, I out, leaving her and Mistress Ferrers there, and I to Captain Cox there to do some business, and then away with Cox in his coach through Kent Street, a miserable, wretched, poor place, people sitting sick and muffled up with plasters at every 4 or 5 door. So to the Change, and thence I by water to the Duke of Albemarle, and there much company, but I stayed and dined, and he makes mighty much of me, and here he tells us the Dutch are gone, and have lost above 160 cables and anchors through the last foul weather. Here he proposed to me from Mr. Coventry, as I had desired of Mr. Coventry, that I should be Surveyor General of the Victualling business, which I accepted. But indeed the terms in which Mr. Coventry proposes it for me are the most obliging that ever I could expect from any man. And more, it's saying me to be the fittest man in England, and that he is sure, if I will undertake it, I will perform it. And that it will be also a very desirable thing that I might have this encouragement, my encouragement in the navy alone being in no wise proportionable to my pains or deserts. This, added to the letter I had 3 days since from Mr. Southern, signifying that the Duke of York had in his master's absence opened my letter, and commanded him to tell me that he did approve of my being the Surveyor General, doth make me joyful beyond myself, that I cannot express it. To see that as I do take pain, so God blesses me, and hath sent me masters that do observe that I take pains. After having done here, I back by water and to London, and there met with Captain Cox's coach again, and I went in it to Greenwich, and thence sent my wife in it to Woolwich, and I to the office, and thence home late with Captain Taylor, and he and I settled all accounts between us, and I do find that I do get above £120 of him for my services for him within these 6 months. at it till almost one in the morning, and after supper he away and I to bed, mightily satisfied in all this and in a resolution I have taken tonight with Mr. Hayter, to propose the Port of London for the victualling business for Thomas Wilson, by which it will be the better done, and I at more ease in case he should grumble. So to bed. The 28th of October. Up and sent for Thomas Wilson, and broke the victualling business to him, and he is mightily contented, and so am I, that I have bestowed it on him. And so I to Mr. Borman's, where Sir William Batten is, to tell him what I had proposed to Thomas Wilson. And the news also I have this morning from Sir William Clark, which is that notwithstanding all the care the Duke of Albemarle hath taken about the putting the East India prize goods into the East India Company's hands, and my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis having laden out a great part of the goods, an order is come from court to stop all, and to have the goods delivered to the sub-commissioners of prizes, at which I am glad, because it doth vex this simple weak man, and we shall have a little reparation for the disgrace my Lord Sandwich hath had in it. He tells me also that the Parliament hath given the Duke of York £120,000 to be paid him after the £1.25 million is gathered upon the tax, which they have now given the King. He tells me that the Dutch have lately launched 16 new ships, all which is great news. Thence by horseback with Mr. Dean to Erith, and so aboard my Lord Brunker, and dined, and very merry with him, and good discourse between them about shipbuilding. And after dinner, and a little pleasant discourse, we away, and by horseback again to Greenwich. And there I to the office, very late, offering my persons for all the victualling ports, much to my satisfaction. Also much other business I did to my mind, and so, weary, home to my lodging, and there, after eating and drinking a little, I to bed. The King and Court, they say, have now finally resolved to spend nothing upon clothes, but what is of the growth of England, which, if observed, will be very pleasing to the people and very good for them. The 29th of October, Lord's Day. Up and being ready, set out with Captain Cock in his coach towards Erith, Mr. Dean riding along with us, where we dined and were very merry. After dinner we fell to discourse about the Dutch, Cock undertaking to prove that they were able to wage war with us 3 years together, which, though it may be true, yet not being satisfied with his arguments, my Lord and I did oppose the strength of his arguments, which brought us to a great heat, he being a conceited man, but of no logic in his head at all, which made my Lord and I mirth. Anon we parted and back again, we hardly having a word all the way, he being so vexed at our not yielding to his persuasion. I was set down at Woolwich Townsend, and walked through the town in the dark, it being now night. But in the street did overtake and almost run upon two women, crying and carrying a man's coffin between them. I suppose the husband of one of them, which, methinks, is a sad thing. Being come to Sheldon's, I find my people in the dark in the dining-room, merry and laughing, and, I thought, sporting one with another, which, God help me, raised my jealousy presently. I came in the dark, and one of them, touching me, which afterward I found was Sue, made them shriek, and so went out upstairs, leaving them to light a candle, and to run out. I went out, and was very vexed, till I found my wife was gone with Mr. Hill, and Mercer this day to see me at Greenwich, and these people were at supper, and the candle, on a sudden falling out of the candlestick, which I saw as I came through the yard, and Mistress Barbary being there, I was well at ease again, and so bethought myself what to do, whether to go to Greenwich or stay there. At last go I would, and so with a lantern and three or four people with me, among others Mr. Brown, who was there, would go. I walked with a lantern and discoursed with him about painting and the several sorts of it. I came in good time to Greenwich, where I found Mr. Hill with my wife, and very glad I was to see him. To supper and discourse of music, and so to bed, I lying with him, talking till midnight about Birchinshaw's music rules, which I did to his great satisfaction inform him in, and so to sleep. The 30th of October. Up and to my office about business, At noon, to dinner, and after some discourse of music, he and I to the office a while, and he to get Mr. Coleman, if he can, against night. By and by, I back again home, and there find him returned with Mr. Coleman, his wife being ill, and Mr. Lanyer, with whom, with their lute, we had excellent company and good singing till midnight, and a good supper I did give them. But Coleman's voice is quite spoilt, and when he begins to be drunk, he is excellent company, but afterward troublesome and impertinent. Lanyer sings in a melancholy method very well, and a sober man he seems to be. They being gone, we to bed. Captain Ferrer, coming this day from my lord, is forced to lodge here, and I put him to Mr. Hill. The 31st of October. Up and to the office, Captain Ferrer's going back betimes to my lord. I to the office, where Sir William Batten met me, and did tell me that Captain Cox Black was dead of the plague, which I had heard of before, but took no notice. By and by Captain Cox came to the office, and Sir William Batten and I did send to him that he would either forbear the office, or forbear going to his own office. However, meeting yesterday the searchers, with their rods in their hands, coming from his house, I did overhear them say that the fellow did not die of the plague, but he had, I know, been ill a good while, and I am told that his boy Jack is also ill. At noon, home to dinner, and then to the office again, leaving Mr. Hill, if he can, to get Mistress Coleman at night. About 9 at night, I came home, and there find Mistress Pierce come, and little Frank Tooker and Mr. Hill, and other people, a great many, dancing. Anon comes Mistress Coleman with her husband and Lanyer. The dancing ended, and to sing, which Mistress Coleman doth very finely, though her voice is decayed as to strength, but mighty sweet, though soft, and a pleasant jolly woman, and in mighty good humour was to-night. Among other things, Lanyer did at the request of Mr. Hill bring two or three the finest prints for my wife to see that ever I did see in all my life. But for singing, among other things, we got Mistress Coleman to sing part of the opera, though she won't own that ever she did get any of it without book in order to the stage. But above all, her counterfeiting of Captain Cook's part, in his reproaching his men with cowardice, base slaves, etc., she doth it most excellently. At it till past midnight, and then broke up and to bed. Hill and I together again, and being very sleepy we had little discourse as we had the other night. Thus we end the month merrily, and the more for that after some fears that the plague would have increased again this week, I hear for certain that there is above 400 decrease, the whole number being 1,388, and of them, of the plague, 1,031. Want of money in the navy puts everything out of order, men grow mutinous, and nobody here to mind the business of the navy but myself. At least Sir William Batten, for the few days he hath been here, doth nothing. I, in great hopes of my place of Surveyor General of the Victualling, which will bring me £300 per annum. November 1665. The First. Lay very long in bed discoursing with Mr. Hill of most things of a man's life, and how little merit doth prevail in the world, but only favour, and that for myself, chance without merit brought me in, and that diligence only keeps me so, and will, living as I do among so many lazy people, that the diligent man becomes necessary, that they cannot do anything without him. And so told him of my late business of the victualling, and what cares I'm in to keep myself, having to do with people of so different factions at court, and yet must be fair with them all, which was very pleasant discourse for me to tell, as well as he seemed to take it, for him to hear. At last up, and it being a very foul day for rain, and a hideous wind, yet having promised I would go, by water to Erith, and bearing sail, was in danger of oversetting, but made them take down their sail, and so, cold and wet, got thither as they had ended their dinner. However, I dined well. And after dinner, all on shore, my Lord Brunker with us, to Mistress Williams's lodgings, and Sir William Batten, Sir Edmund Pooley, and others, and there, it being my lord's birthday, had everyone a green ribbon tied in our hats, very foolishly, and methinks mighty disgracefully for my lord to have his folly so open to all the world with this woman. But by and by Sir William Batten and I took coach, and home to Borman's, and so going home by the backside, I saw Captain Cock lighting out of his coach, he having been at Erith also with her, but not on board, and so he would come along with me home to my lodging, and there sat and supped and talked with us. But we were angry a little a while about our message to him the other day, about bidding him keep from the office, or his own office, because of his black dying. I owned it and the reason of it, and would have been glad he had been out of the house, but I could not bid him go, and so supped, and after much other talk of the sad condition and state of the king's matters, we broke up, and my wife and I to bed. This night, coming with Sir William Batten into Greenwich, we called upon Colonel Cleggett, who tells us for certain that the King of Denmark hath declared to stand for the King of England, but since, I hear it is wholly false. The 2nd of November. Up left my wife and to the office, and there, to my great content, Sir William Warren came to me to settle the business of the Tangier boats, wherein I shall get above £100, beside £100 which he gives me in the paying for them, out of his own purse. He gone, I home to my lodgings to dinner, and there comes Captain Wager, newly returned from the Straits, who puts me in great fears for our last ships that went to Tangier with provisions, that they will be taken. A brave, stout fellow this captain is, and, I think, very honest. To the office again after dinner, and there, late, writing letters. And then, about 8 at night, set out from my office, and fitting myself at my lodging, intended to have gone this night in a ketch down to the fleet. But calling in my way at Sir John Minnis's, who is come up from Erith about something about the prizes, they persuaded me not to go till the morning, it being a horrible dark and a windy night. So I back to my lodgings and to bed. The 3rd and 4th of November. Was called up about 4 o'clock, and in the dark by lantern took boat, and to the ketch and set sail, sleeping a little in the cabin till day, and then up and fell to reading of Mr. Evelyn's book about painting, which is a very pretty book. Carrying good victuals, and Tom with me, I to breakfast about 9 o'clock, and then to read again, and came to the fleet about 12, where found my lord, the prince being gone in, on board the Royal James, Sir Thomas Allen commander, and with my lord an hour alone discoursing, which was my chief and only errand, about what was advisable for his lordship to do in this state of things, himself being under the Duke of York and Mr. Coventry's envy, and a great many more, and likely never to do anything honourably but he shall be envied, and the honour taken as much as can be from it. His absence lessens his interest at court, and which is worst, we never able to set out a fleet fit for him to command, or, if out, to keep them out, or fit them to do any great thing, or, if that were so, yet nobody at home minds him or his condition when he is abroad. And lastly, the whole affairs of state looking as if they would all on a sudden break in pieces, and then what a sad thing it would be for him to be out of the way. My lord did concur in everything, and thanked me infinitely for my visit and counsel, telling me that in everything he concurs, but puts a query. What if the king will not think himself safe, if any man should go but him? How he should go off then? To that I had no answer ready, but the making the king see that he may be of as good use to him here, while another goes forth. But for that I am not able to say much. We, after this, talked of some other little things, and so to dinner, where my lord infinitely kind to me. And after dinner I rose and left him with some commanders at the table, taking tobacco. And I took the Bezan back with me, and with a brave gale and tide reached up that night to the Hope, taking great pleasure in learning the seamen's manner of singing when they sound the depths. And then to supper and to sleep, which I did most excellently all night, it being a horrible foul night for wind and rain. They sailed from midnight and came to Greenwich about 5 o'clock in the morning. I, however, lay till about 7 or 8, and so to my office, my head a little aching, partly for want of natural rest, partly having so much business to do today, and partly from the news I hear that one of the little boys at my lodging is not well, and they suspect, by their sending for plaster and fume, that it may be the plague. So I sent Mr. Hayter and Will Hewer to speak with the mother, but they returned to me satisfied that there is no hurt nor danger, but the boy is well and offers to be searched. However, I was resolved myself to abstain coming thither for a while. Sir William Batten and myself at the office all the morning, at noon with him to dinner at Borman's, where Mr. Seymour with us, who is a most conceited fellow, and not overmuch in him. Here Sir William Batten told us, which I had not heard before, that the last sitting day his cloak was taken from Mingo, going home to dinner, and that he was beaten by the seamen, and swears he will come to Greenwich but no more to the office till he can sit safe. After dinner, I to the office, and there very late. And much trouble to have 100 seamen all the afternoon there, swearing below and cursing us and breaking the glass windows, and swear they will pull the house down on Tuesday next. I sent word of this to court, but nothing will help it but money and a rope. Late at night, I to Mr. Glanville's, there to lie for a night or two, and to bed. The 5th of November, Lord's Day. Up and after being trimmed, by boat to the cockpit, where I heard the Duke of Albemarle's chaplain make a simple sermon. Among other things, reproaching the imperfection of humane learning, he cried, "All our physicians can't tell what an ague is, and all our arithmetic is not able to number the days of a man, which, God knows, is not the fault of arithmetic, but that our understandings reach not that thing." To dinner, where a great deal of silly discourse. But the worst is, I hear, that the plague increases much at Lambeth, St. Martin's and Westminster, and fear it will all over the city. Thence I to the Swan, there thinking to have seen Sarah, but she was at church, and so by water to Deptford, and there made a visit to Mr. Evelyn's, who, among other things, showed me most excellent painting in little, in distemper, Indian ink, watercolours, graving, and above all the whole secret of mezzo tinto, and the manner of it, which is very pretty, and good things done with it. He read to me very much also of his discourse he hath been many years, and is now about gardenage, which will be a most noble and pleasant piece. He read me part of a play or two of his making, very good, but not as he conceits them, I think, to be. He showed me his Hortus Hyemalis, leaves laid up in a book of several plants, kept dry, which preserve colour, however, and look very finely, better than any herbal. In fine, a most excellent person he is, and must be allowed a little, for a little conceitedness. But he may well be so, being a man so much above others. He read me, though with too much gusto, some little poems of his own, that were not transcendent, yet one or two very pretty epigrams, among others, of a lady looking in at a grate and being pecked at by an eagle that was there. Here comes in the middle of our discourse, Captain Cock, as drunk as a dog, but could stand and talk and laugh. He did so joy himself in a brave woman that he'd been with all the afternoon, and who should it be but my Lady Robinson? But very troublesome he is with his noise and talk and laughing, though very pleasant. With him in his coach to Mr. Glanville's, where he sat with Mistress Pennington and myself a good while, talking of this fine woman again, and then went away. Then the lady and I to a very serious discourse, and among other things, of what a bonny lass my Lady Robinson is, who is reported to be kind to the prisoners, and hath said to Sir George Smith, who is her great crony, "Look, there is a pretty man. I could be contented to break a commandment with him." and such loose expressions she will have often. After an hour's talk, we to bed, the lady mightily troubled about a little pretty bit she hath, which is very sick and will eat nothing. And the jest was, I could hear her in her chamber bemoaning the bitch, and by, taking her to bed with her, the bitch pissed and shit a bed, and she was fain to rise, and had coals out of my chamber to dry the bed again. This night I had a letter that Sir George Carteret would be in town tomorrow, which did much surprise me. The 6th of November. Up and to my office, where busy all the morning, and then to dinner to Captain Cox with Mr. Evelyn, where very merry, only vexed after dinner to stay too long for our coach. At last, however, to Lambeth, and thence the cockpit, where we find Sir George Carteret come, and in with the Duke and the East India Company about settling the business of the prizes, and they have gone through with it. Then they broke up, and Sir George Carteret came out, and thence through the garden to the waterside, and by water I with him in his boat, down with Captain Cock to his house at Greenwich. And while supper was getting ready, Sir George Carteret and I did walk an hour in the garden before the house, talking of my Lord Sandwich's business, what enemies he hath, and how they have endeavoured to bespatter him, and particularly about his leaving of 30 ships of the enemy, when Penn would have gone, and my lord called him back again, which is most false. However, he says it was purposed by some hotheads in the House of Commons to have, at the same time when they voted a present to the Duke of York, to have voted £10,000 to the Prince, and half a crown to my Lord of Sandwich. But nothing came of it. But for all this the King is most firm to my lord, and so is my Lord Chancellor and my Lord Arlington. The Prince, in appearance, kind. The Duke of York, silent. Says no hurt, but admits others to say it in his hearing. Sir William Penn, the falsest rascal that ever was in the world, and that this afternoon the Duke of Albemarle did tell him that Penn was a very cowardly rogue, and one that hath brought all these roguish fanatic captains into the fleet, and swears he shall never go out with the fleet again. That Sir William Coventry is most kind to Penn still, and says nothing, nor doth anything, openly to the prejudice of my lord. He agrees with me that it is impossible for the King to set out a fleet again the next year, and that he fears all will come to ruin, there being no money in prospect but these prizes, which will bring, it may be, £20,000. But that will signify nothing in the world for it. That this late Act of Parliament for bringing the money into the Exchequer, and making of it payable out there, is intended as a prejudice to him, will be his convenience hereafter, and ruin the King's business, and so I fear it will, and do wonder Sir William Coventry would be led by Sir George Downing to persuade the King and Duke to have it so, before they had thoroughly weighed all circumstances. That for my lord the King hath said to him lately that I was an excellent officer, and that my Lord Chancellor doth, he thinks, love and esteem of me, as well as he doth of any man in England that he hath no more acquaintance with. So, having done, and received from me the sad news that we are like to have no money here a great while, not even of the very prizes, I set up my rest in giving up the King's service to be ruined, and so in to supper, where pretty merry, and after supper late to Mr. Glanville's, and Sir George Carteret, to bed. I also to bed, it being very late. The 7th of November. Up and to Sir George Carteret, and with him, he being very passionate to be gone, without staying a minute for breakfast, to the Duke of Albemarle, and I with him by water, and with Fenn. But among other things, Lord, to see how he wondered to see the river so empty of boats, nobody working at the custom-house quays, and how fearful he is, and vexed that his man, holding a wine-glass in his hand for him to drink out of, did cover his hands, it being a cold, windy, rainy morning, under the waterman's coat, though he brought the waterman from 6 or 7 miles up the river, too. Nay, he carried this glass with him for his man, to let him drink out of at the Duke of Albemarle, where he intended to dine, though this he did to prevent sluttery, For the same reason, he carried a napkin with him to Captain Cock, making him believe that he should eat with foul linen. Here he, with the Duke, walked a good while in the park, and I, with Fenn, but cannot gather that he intends to stay with us, nor thinks anything at all of ever paying one farthing of money more to us here. Let what will come of it. Thence in, and Sir William Batten comes in by and by, and so staying till noon, and there being a great deal of company there, Sir William Batten and I took leave of the Duke and Sir George Carteret, there being no good to be done more for money. And so over the river and by coach to Greenwich, where at Borman's we dined, it being late. Thence my head being full of business, and mind out of order for thinking of the effects which will arise from the want of money, I made an end of my letters by 8 o'clock, and so to my lodging, and there spent the evening till midnight talking with Mistress Pennington, who is a very discreet, understanding lady, and very pretty discourse we had, and great variety. And she tells me, with great sorrow, her bitch is dead this morning, died in her bed. So, broke up, and to bed. The 8th of November. Up and to the office, where busy, among other things, to look my warrants for the settling of the victualling business, the warrants being come to me for the surveyors of the ports, and that, for me also, to be surveyor general. I did discourse largely with Tom Wilson about it, and doubt not to make it a good service to the King as well, as the King gives us very good salaries. It being a fast day, all people were at church, and the office quiet, so I did much business, and at noon adventured to my old lodging, and there ate. But am not yet well satisfied, not seeing of Christopher, though they say he is abroad. Thence, after dinner, to the office again, and thence am sent for to the King's Head by my Lord Rutherford, who, since I can hope for no more convenience from him, his business is troublesome to me, and therefore I did leave him as soon as I could, and by water to Deptford, and there did order my matters so, walking up and down in the fields till it was dark night, that je alloi à la maison of my Valentine, and there je faisais whatever je voudrais avec her. And about 8 at night did take water, being glad I was out of the town, for the plague, it seems, rages there more than ever. And so to my lodgings, where my lord had got a supper, and the mistress of the house and her daughters, and here stayed Mistress Pierce to speak with me about her husband's business, and I made her sup with us, and then at night my lord and I walked with her home, and so back again. My lord and I ended all we had to say as to his business overnight, and so I took leave, and went again to Mr. Glanville's, and so to bed, it being very late, to bed. The 9th of November. Up and did give the servant something at Mr. Glanville's, and so took leave, meaning to lie tonight at my own lodging. To my office, where busy with Mr. Gordon running over the victualling business, and he is mightily pleased that this course is taking, and seems sensible of my favour, and promises kindness to me. At noon, by water to the King's Head at Deptford, where Captain Taylor invites Sir William Batten, Sir John Robinson, who came in with a great deal of company from hunting, and brought in a hare alive, and a great many silly stories they tell of their sport, which pleases them mightily, and me, not at all, such is the different sense of pleasure in mankind, and others upon the score of a survey of his new ship. And strange it is to see how a good dinner and feasting reconciles everybody, Sir William Batten and Sir John Robinson being now as kind to him, and report well of his ship and proceedings and promise money, and Sir William Batten is a solicitor for him, that it is a strange thing to observe, they being the greatest enemies he had, and yet I believe half, in the world in their hearts. Thence, after dinner, stole away, and to my office, where did a great deal of business till midnight, and then to Mistress Clark's to lodge again. And going home, Will Hewer did tell me my wife will be here tomorrow, and hath put away Mary, which vexes me to the heart, I cannot help it, though it be a folly in me, and when I think seriously on it, I think my wife means no ill design in it, or if she do, I am a fool to be troubled at it, since I cannot help it. The bill of mortality to all our griefs has increased 399 this week, and the increase general through the whole city and suburbs, which makes us all sad. The 10th of November. Up and enter all my journals since the 28th of October, having every day's passage well in my head, though it troubles me to remember it, and what I was forced to, being kept from my lodging where my books and papers are, for several days. So to my office, where till 2 or 3 o'clock, busy before I could go to my lodging to dinner, then did it, and to my office again. In the evening news is brought me my wife is come, so I to her, and with her spent the evening, but with no great pleasure, I being vexed about her putting away of Mary in my absence. But yet I took no notice of it at all, but fell into other discourse, and she told me, having herself been this day at my house at London, which was boldly done, to see Mary have her things, that Mr. Harrington, our neighbour, and East Country merchant, is dead at Epsom, of the plague, and that another neighbour of ours, Mr. Hallworthy, a very able man, is also dead by a fall in the country from his horse, his foot hanging in the stirrup, and his brains beat out. Here we sat talking, and after supper to bed. The 11th of November. I up and to the office, leaving my wife in bed, and there till noon, then to dinner and back again to the office, my wife going to Woolwich again, and I staying very late at my office, and so home to bed. The 12th of November, Lord's Day. Up and invited by Captain Cock to dinner, so after being ready I went to him, and there he and I and Mr. Yard, one of the Guinea Company, dined together, and very merry. After dinner I by water to the Duke of Albemarle, and there had a little discourse and business with him, chiefly to receive his commands about pilots to be got for our Hamburg ships, going now at this time of the year convoy to the merchant ships that have lain, with great pain and charge, some 3 and some 4 months at Harwich for a convoy. They hope here the plague will be less this week. Thence back by water to Captain Cox, and there he and I spent a great deal of the evening, as we had done of the day, reading and discoursing over part of Mr. Stillingfleet's Origenes Sacrae, wherein many things are very good, and some frivolous. Thence, by and by, he and I to Mistress Pennington's, thinking to have spent the evening with her, but she was gone to bed, so we back and walked a while, and then to his house and to supper, and then broke up, and I home to my lodging to bed. The 13th of November. Up and to my office, where busy all the morning, and at noon to Captain Cox to dinner, as we had appointed, in order to settle our business of accounts. But here came in an alderman, a merchant, a very merry man, and we dined, and he being gone, after dinner Cock and I walked into the garden, and there, after a little discourse, he did undertake, under his hand, to secure me in £500 profit for my share of the profit of what we bought of the prize goods. We agreed upon the terms, which were easier on my side than I expected, and so, with extraordinary inward joy, we part till the evening. So I to the office, and among other business, prepared a deed for him to sign and seal to me about our agreement, which at night I got him to come and sign and seal. And so he and I to Glanville's, and there he and I sat talking and playing with Mistress Pennington, whom we found undressed in her smock and petticoats by the fireside. And there we drank and laughed, and she willingly suffered me to put my hand in her bosom very wantonly, and keep it there long, which methought was very strange, and I looked upon myself as a man mightily deceived in a lady, for I could not have thought she could have suffered it, by her former discourse with me, so modest she seemed, and I know not what. We stayed here late, and so home, after he and I had walked till past midnight, a bright moonshine, clear, cool night, before his door by the water. And so I home after 1 of the clock. The 14th of November. called up by break of day by Captain Cock by agreement, and he and I in his coach through Kent Street, a sad place through the plague, people sitting sick and with plasters about them in the street begging, to Viner's and Colville's about money business, and so to my house there and took £300 in order to the carrying it down to my Lord Sandwich in part of the money I am to pay for Captain Cock by our agreement. So I took it down, and down went to Greenwich to my office, and there sat busy till noon, and so home to dinner, and thence to the office again, and by to the Duke of Albemarle's by water, late, where I find he had remembered that I had appointed to come to him this day about money, which I excused not doing sooner. But I see a dull fellow as he is doth sometimes remember what another thinks he minded not. My business was about getting money of the East India Company, but, Lord, to see how the Duke himself magnifies himself in what he had done with that company, and my Lord Craven, what the King could have done without my Lord Duke, and a deal of stir, but most mightily what a brave fellow I am. Back by water, it raining hard, and so to the office, and stopped my going, as I intended, to the Boy of the Nore, and great reason I had to rejoice at it, for it proved the night of as great a storm as was almost ever remembered. Late at the office, and so home to bed. This day, calling at Mr. Rawlinson's to know how all did there, I hear that my pretty grocer's wife, Mistress Beaversham, over the way there, her husband is lately dead of the plague at Bow, which I am sorry for fear of losing her neighbourhood. The 15th of November. Up and all the morning at the office busy, and at noon to the King's Head Tavern, where all the Trinity House dined today to choose a new master in the room of Hurlstone that is dead, and Captain Crisp is chosen. But, Lord, to see how Sir William Batten governs all and tramples upon Hurlstone. But I am confident that company will grow the worse for that man's death, for now Batten, and in him a lazy, corrupt, doting rogue, will have all the sway there. After dinner, who comes in but my Lady Batten and a troop of a dozen women almost, and expected, as I found afterward, to be made mighty much of, but nobody minded them. But the best jest was that when they saw themselves not regarded, they would go away, and it was horrible foul weather, and my Lady Batten, walking through the dirty lane, with new spick-and-span white shoes, she dropped one of her galoshes in the dirt where it stuck, and she forced to go home without one, at which she was horribly vexed, and I led her. And after vexing her a little more in mirth, I parted, and to Glanville's, where I knew Sir John Robinson, Sir George Smith, and Captain Cock were gone. And there, with the company of Mistress Pennington, whose father, I hear, was one of the Court of Justice and died prisoner of the Stone in the Tower, I made them, against their resolutions, to stay from hour to hour, till it was almost midnight, and a furious, dark, and rainy, and windy, stormy night, and, which was best, I, with drinking small beer, made them all drunk drinking wine, at which Sir John Robinson made great sport. But they being gone, the lady and I very civilly sat an hour by the fireside, observing the folly of this Robinson, that makes it his work to praise himself, and all he says and doth, like a heavy-headed coxcomb. The plague, blessed be God, is decreased near 400, making the whole this week but 1,300 and odd, for which the Lord be praised. The 16th and 17th of November. Up and fitted myself for my journey down to the Fleet, and sending my money and boy down by water to Erith, I borrowed a horse of Mr. Borman's son, and after having sat an hour laughing with my Lady Batten and Mistress Turner, and ate and drank with them, I took horse and rode to Erith, where after making a little visit to Madam Williams, who did give me information of Will Howe's having bought 8 bags of precious stones, taken from about the Dutch vice-admiral's neck, of which there were 8 diamonds, which cost him £4,000 sterling in India, and hoped to have made £12,000 here for them, and that this is told by one that sold him one of the bags, which hath nothing but rubies in it, which he hath for 35 shillings, and that it will be proved he hath made £125 of one stone that he bought. This she desired, and I resolved I would give my Lord Sandwich notice of. So I on board my Lord Brunker, and there he and Sir Edmund Pooley carried me down into the hold of the India ship, and there did show me the greatest wealth lie in confusion that a man can see in the world. Pepper scattered through every chink, you trod upon it, and in cloves and nutmegs. I walked above the knees, whole rooms full, and silk in bales, and boxes of copperplate, one of which I saw opened. Having seen this, which was as noble a sight as ever I saw in my life, I away on board the other ship in despair, to get the pleasure boat of the gentleman there to carry me to the fleet. They came, Mr. Ashburnham and Colonel Wyndham, but pleading the king's business they did presently agree I should have it. So I presently on board and got under sail, and had a good bed by the shift of Wyndham's, and so sailed all night and got down to Quinborough Water, where all the great ships are now come. And there on board my lord, and was soon received with great content. And after some little discourse, he and I on board Sir William Penn, and there held a council of war, about many wants of the fleet, but chiefly how to get slops and victuals for the fleet, now going out to convoy our Hamburg ships, that have been so long detained, for 4 or 5 months for want of convoy, which we did accommodate one way or other. And so, after much chat, Sir William Penn did give us a very good and neat dinner, neater, I think, than ever I did see at his own house at home in my life. And so was the other I ate with him. After dinner, much talk, and among other things, he and I about his money for his prize goods, wherein I did give him a cool answer, but so as we did not disagree in words much. And so let that fall, and so followed my Lord Sandwich, who was gone a little before me, on board the Royal James. And there spent an hour, my lord playing upon the guitar, which he now commends above all music in the world, because it is bass enough for a single voice, and is so portable and manageable without much trouble. That being done, I got my lord to be alone, and so I fell to acquaint him with Will Howe's business, which he had before heard a little of from Captain Cock, but made no great matter of it. But now he doth, and resolves nothing less than to lay him by the heels, and seize on all he hath, saying that for these year or two he hath observed him so proud and conceited he could not endure him. But though I was not at all displeased with this, yet I prayed him to forbear doing anything therein till he heard from me again about it, and I had made inquiry into the truth of it, which he agreed to. Then we fell to public discourse, wherein was principally this. He cleared it to me, beyond all doubt, that Coventry is his enemy, and hath been long so. So that I am over that, and my lord told it upon my proposal of a friendship between them, which, he says, is impossible. And methinks that my lord's displeasure about the report in print of the first fight was not of his making. But I perceive my lord cannot forget it, nor the other think he can. I showed him how advisable it were, upon almost any terms, for him to get quite off the sea employment. He answers me again that he agrees to it, but thinks the king will not let him go off. He tells me he lacks now my Lord Orrery to solicit it for him, who is very great with the king. As an infinite secret, my lord tells me the factions are high between the king and the duke, and all the court are in an uproar with their loose amours. The Duke of York being in love desperately with Mistress Stuart, nay, that the Duchess herself is fallen in love with her new master of the horse, one Harry Sidney, and another Harry Saville, so that God knows what will be the end of it, and that the Duke is not so obsequious as he used to be, but very high of late, and will be glad to be in the head of an army as general, and that it is said that he doth propose to go and command under the King of Spain in Flanders, that his amours to Mistress Stuart are told the king, so that all is like to be naught among them. That he knows that the Duke of York doth give leave to have him spoken slightly of in his own hearing, and doth not oppose it, and told me from what time he hath observed this to begin, so that upon the whole, my lord doth concur to wish with all his heart that he could with any honour get from off the employment. After he had given thanks to me for my kind visit and good counsel, on which he seems to set much by, I left him, and so away to my besan again, and there to read in a pretty French book, La Nouvelle Allegorique, upon the strife between rhetoric and its enemies, very pleasant. So after supper to sleep, and sailed all night, and came to Erith before break of day. The 18th of November. About 9 o'clock I went on shore there, calling by the way only to look upon my Lord Brunker, to give Mistress Williams an account of her matters, and so hired an ill-favoured hoss, and away to Greenwich to my lodgings, where I hear how rude the soldiers have been in my absence, swearing what they would do with me, which troubled me. But, however, after eating a bit, I to the office, and there very late writing letters, and so home and to bed. The 19th of November, Lord's Day. Up, and after being trimmed, I alone by water to Erith, all the way with my song-book singing of Mr. Laws's long recitative song in the beginning of his book. Being come there on board my Lord Brunker, I find Captain Cock and other company, the lady not well, and mighty merry we were, Sir Edmund Pooley being very merry and a right English gentleman and one of the discontented cavaliers that thinks their loyalty is not considered. After dinner, all on shore to my Lady Williams, and there drank and talked. But, Lord, the most impertinent bold woman with my lord that ever I did see. I did give her an account again of my business with my lord touching Will Howe, and she did give me some information about it, and examination taken about it, and so we parted, and took boat, and to Woolwich, where we found my wife not well of them, and I, out of humour, begun to dislike her painting, the last things not pleasing me so well as the former. But I blame myself for my being so little complacent. So without eating or drinking, there being no wine, which vexed me too, we walked with a lantern to Greenwich, and ate something at his house, and so home to bed. The 20th of November. Up before day, and wrote some letters to go to my lord, among others, that about Will Howe, which I believe will turn him out, and so took horse for Nonsuch, with two men with me, and the ways very bad, and the weather worse for wind and rain. But we got in good time thither, and I did get my tallies got ready, and thence, with as many as would go, to Yule, and there dined very well. And I saw my Bess, a very well-favoured country lass there. And after being very merry, and having spent a piece, I took horse, and by another way met with a very good road. But it rained hard and blew, but got home very well. Here I find Mr. Deering come to trouble me about business, which I soon dispatched, and parted, he telling me that Llewellyn hath been dead this fortnight of the plague in St. Martin's Lane, which much surprised me. The 21st of November. Up and to the office, where all the morning doing business, and at noon home to dinner, and quickly back again to the office, where very busy all the evening, and late sent a long discourse to Mr. Coventry by his desire about the regulating of the method of our payment of bills in the Navy, which will be very good, though it may be he did aim principally at striking at Sir George Carteret. So, weary, but pleased with this business being over, I home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of November. Up and by water to the Duke of Albemarle, and there did some little business, but most to show myself, and mightily I am yet in his and Lord Craven's books. And thence to the Swan, and there drank, and so down to the bridge, and so to the Change, where spoke with many people, and about a great deal of business, which kept me late. I heard this day that Mr. Harrington is not dead of the plague as we believed, at which I was very glad. But most of all to hear that the plague is come very low, that is, the whole under 1,000, and the plague 600 and odd, and great hopes of a further decrease, because of this day's being a very exceeding hard frost, and continues freezing. This day the first of the Oxford Gazettes came out, which is very pretty, full of news, and no folly in it, wrote by Williamson. Fear that our Hamburg ships at last cannot go because of the great frost, which we believe it is there. Nor are our ships cleared at the Pillow, which will keep them there too, all this winter, I fear. From the change, which is pretty full again, I to my house, and there took some things, and so by water to my lodging at Greenwich, and dined, and then to the office a while, and at night home to my lodgings, and took Thomas Wilson and Thomas Hayter with me, and there spent the evening till midnight, discoursing and settling of our victualling business, that thereby I might draw up instructions for the surveyors, and that we might be doing something to earn our money. This done, I late to bed. Among other things, it pleased me to have it demonstrated that a purser without professed cheating is a professed loser, twice as much as he gets.